hey, you are wildly capable of great things. So take a deep breath, let it out. You've got this. I want to tell you guys today about Brandlink Media, a female-owned digital agency with years of experience working with businesses in Oklahoma and beyond on their branding, web design, email marketing, copywriting, and more. Remember, you are wildly capable of great things, and Brandlink Media is cheering you on. Visit www.brandlinkmedia.com to schedule a free consultation. Link in our show notes. It is my pleasure to introduce today Hannah Homburg, who is a research scientist here in Oklahoma City. Hannah, tell us about a few defining moments of your life.
Yeah, so I was thinking about this because we got the questions before, which thank you for that. But I was thinking about this, and honestly, I went back and I think the most defining moment, and this may sound weird, when I was in third grade, my best friends were some of the girls that ended up being like the really, really popular girls when we got into high school. And in third grade, that was kind of when people started like doing their sports, doing that kind of stuff. And for my parents, their priority was always like, we want to raise good people, and that, you know, good, smart, like that was their focus, was like school, doing that kind of stuff. And so they also had a big priority on church, and a lot of those things that were like the cool thing to do would have interfered with school, church, that stuff that were like really important to my parents. And so my parents said no to a lot of things that we wanted to do. And eventually around that age, those friendships kind of started to wane off, mostly because we just weren't in the same activities. And at the time, I remember it being like a really hard thing because I felt like I lost all my friends, and I was like 8 years old. But that's, you don't understand that when you're eight. But when I think back on it now, like that truly was a defining moment in my life, because my parents in doing that taught me how to say yes to things that were going to serve me well, and not just yes to things that were going to be the most popular or the things that other people were doing. And so it was a really important lesson, because obviously I ended up making friends and doing great in school, and it taught me a lot about decision making and doing things not because everyone else is doing them, but because they were going to best benefit me and my future and what was best for me. And I think at 8 years old, to kind of get a taste of that and see like, hey, this is a thing that's really hard in the moment because it's not necessarily the cool thing to do. Actually, when I look at what that did to my life, because I don't think I would have ended up where I am now had I said yes to some of those things that really weren't, I was never going to be a great athlete or anything like that. So they would have just taken up time that I were never going to do anything for my future. And so I think to learn that lesson at a young age, like it really defined, because when at the end of it, I came out of it and I was okay, I learned like, hey, just because everyone is doing this cool thing or everyone's doing this one thing doesn't mean it's the best thing for me. And so it's okay for me to say no to that. And so I've had a lot of things over the years where I've said no to it, even if it was a thing that felt really cool or felt like it was gonna make the path easier or whatever. And I've said no to it because the thing that was gonna be best for me, the thing that I needed to say yes to, even if it was harder, it was gonna make the path a little harder or whatever, ended up like being a better thing for getting me to where I'm at today. And so it made it to where I've made a lot of decisions that maybe, you know, I'm not perfect, but I've maybe made some decisions that were not great, but ultimately I don't have any regrets about that because I learned what to say yes to, what to say no to super, super early. And that really kind of changed and set me on a trajectory of just like being really strong and independent and not being afraid to say no to things. So.
I love that. Yeah, I can relate to that in a certain way, because with Sugar Free Media and what I do, like I started our social media just to introduce people to the brand, and it took off. And then, you know, I got wrapped up in my ego with it. And when they changed the algorithm and everyone was really struggling on there, I had to be like, look myself in the mirror and be like, why did I even start down this path? Like, what is my purpose here? Like, I've gotten so far away from in focusing on likes and shares and my ego in there. I've gotten so far away from our purpose of why we're even on social media. And that's what got me into podcasting, because I realized, you know, I want to share incredible stories like your story that we're doing today, and, you know, really spread like quality information instead of focusing on likes and what's cool. So I definitely, that resonates with me. And you're lucky to have learned that young, I think, because I feel like I just learned that in the past like two, 3 years. So if that, like the past like year, I've had to like really look myself in the eye and be like, we need to change directions. Very cool. So in your research, you know, and your day-to-day life, where do you get your inspiration for all the work you do? I know as someone in the scientific field, you probably put in a lot of hours and a lot of focus. And so, I just would love to know where you get your inspiration and drive.
Yeah, I mean, when I tell people that I do brain research for a living, it's like, it's a cool party trick. It's always, people are like, oh, tell me more about it. Tell me. And so that, you know, keeps me motivated, because I know I've got a very unique job that I do, and it's not a job people hear about. So I think that helps to keep me motivated. But honestly, like a lot of my inspiration. So again, my mom is like my number one role model. So I'll probably talk about her a lot. I already have, but but she comes from a family that was six girls and one boy. And so, and then all of those have had more girls and boys. So I grew up in a very, we're all very close, and it's a very like female dominated family. And all of them are like super strong, like outspoken, independent women. And so I think I just kind of grew up in that environment of just being surrounded by strong women that were like go-getters and going to do what they wanted to do and weren't going to be defined by what they were supposed to do or what society said they're supposed to do. And then in my adulthood, I've got this like incredible group of women that are my closest friends. And it's kind of weird because I'm like the only one, we joke about it in my friend group, I'm like the only one in my group that doesn't own a business. And so I have all these friends that like, I don't understand, because I've got, you know, my retirement plan and all the stuff that just like my job does for me. Mm-hmm. And they're all like in a completely different. And so I look at what they're doing and I'm like, that is so cool. You guys are literally starting from the ground up, like you're doing your own thing. And they're all like thriving. So many of them, so many of my best friends are like included in this 100 thing. And I'm like, I'm so honored to be among that because I see what they're doing. And so I think just being surrounded in proximity by strong women that are just like going for it and doing their own thing and all of that, like that inspires me every day. And then with my own, with my career, a lot of the stuff that we look at, we're looking at, you know, spinal cord injuries and brain cancer and strokes and stuff that is so like sadly common to people, either personally or in their families or whatever. And so I think that keeps me motivated, is because I can put faces and names to the things that I'm studying. And that helps, like, man, maybe I can't help them, but if I can help someone in the future, like that's incredible. I saw a tweet the other day that was talking about the marvel of, you know, with the COVID vaccine or whatever, how it's gone so fast. And that's like the approval process, like very, very cool. Definitely a marvel, especially if you've ever worked with the FDA and know how that process goes. But when I sat and thought about it, really that took like 15 years from, and plus 15 years plus to really think about all of that science that went into it. And so when I think about something I'm working on today, 15 years from now, that could literally save someone's life. Like that is so, makes me like so pumped. And that's, you know, with science, you'll see a scientist work on maybe three or four projects their whole career. And it's because it really is a long, long goal thing, but it's so rewarding if at the end of the day, something I'm working on now in 15 years keeps someone alive.
I love that. That is so cool. And yeah, totally impactful. I mean, talk about that. Like, that's just, yeah, and the insight that you have about the vaccine, that's really cool. So tell us, I think just like what I'm most curious about as like a research scientist, what does your day-to-day look like? I know you're answering that question for the magazine, the written form, but I'd love to hear you just describe and like talk about your day-to-day and what you actually do at your job.
Yeah. So my day-to-day looks very different every day, which is part of what I love about my job. I am not someone that would do well in a, you know, 8 to 5, do the same thing every day. It's great for people that can, but that is not how I thrive. So mine, it kind of depends on the week. Some days I'm there at 6 a.m. Some days I'm there at, you know, 9 or whatever, because I have a meeting that's later. So my day doesn't even start the same time every day. It just kind of is depending on what I've got going on that day. I work with all of the neurosurgeons at OU. And so really my schedule a lot of times is what fits their schedule best. Sometimes I'll be in my wet lab and just doing stuff on the bench top. And sometimes we'll be in surgeries. Sometimes we'll all different kinds of things. My day to day looks very different.
So we get like a full picture, because this is probably so monotonous to you. It's your everyday. But so as you're like in a surgery, like, are you taking notes? Are you taking pictures? Like, how are you sort of studying and recording what you're learning?
So it kind of depends. So the work that I do, which, you know, this can be controversial or not, is a lot of it's at the animal level, which most of the stuff that I work with is rats. So I do a lot of rat work.
Cool.
But it kind of depends. Some of the surgeries are more complex, so the surgeon will be there doing the surgery, and what I'll be doing is kind of recording stuff, telling them what to do. But occasionally it'll be one that I do myself. So I'm maybe performing the actual surgery, again, like on a mouse or a rat, not on a human. I'm not a doctor. But occasionally we will have where I'll have to go to a human OR, usually to collect tissue that we'll use to get the cancer cells out of, so that we can use it to grow cancer and try to treat it and kind of do a lot of that kind of stuff. And so it kind of depends on what the surgery is and what we're doing surgery on and what the purpose of it is, but it can be anywhere from I'm actually doing a surgery to I'm sitting there kind of taking notes, seeing what they're doing, and then monitoring afterwards to see what our results are.
Wow, that is so interesting, and I'm glad we clarified that, because that's different from what I had in my head. So that's really cool, and no, what you're doing is saving lives, so that's really very interesting. And for our next question, when you look to your future, what do you see? You know, do you have any bigger projects you want to work on or goals? Tell us about that.
I mean, yeah, I've always got big projects I want to do. I think it's hard. So if I sit and think about too much, it's like I want to solve all the diseases, but I am not going to be able to do that in my lifetime. It would be great if we could, but it's not going to happen. And so obviously I would love to do something like that. For me personally, I have an uncle that has dementia that we're pretty sure is CTE related to football injuries that he had. So that has become head injuries from contact sports has become a thing that I'm really passionate about, and it's not something I get to study a whole lot. So I would love to eventually get to study brain injuries in athletes, just because I think it's really fascinating. So that, like, career-wise, that would be like a goal that's something that's not really in my current purview, but I would love to be able to do in the future. But like personally, it's I've learned in my life that, you know, we make plans and God laughs. And so yes. I try not to set like hard goals and like, by, you know, in 15 years, I will have done this, and more kind of almost like fast and loose of like, this is a goal I have ultimately. And if it happens, it happens, and it'll happen when it's supposed to happen. But, you know, I would love to eventually have a family, you know, go in that path and be able to do it all. I'm super inspired by women that are like fully in a career and also fully like wives and moms and all that. I think that's amazing, just because me as someone who's not a wife and isn't a mom, like knowing how hard it is just to have the career aspect, imagining putting that part in, I'm like, you guys are super women.
Yeah.
And so I would love to like have that down the line. And luckily I've got a career that, because of the flexibility, like makes it to where I think I will be able to do both someday.
Cool.
But yeah, that's kind of, I don't have any, like, I need to do this exact thing. It's more of just like my ultimate goal for life is to, at the end of the day, at the, you know, if it's my last day on earth, to look back on my life and just be proud. Mm-hmm. So whatever the steps are between there to get me to that point, like, that's what I want to do.
Well, that is the perfect lead-in to our next question, which is, what is your proudest moment so far?
Oh, man, there's so many. I think probably my most proud. So I was the kid in high school that like didn't have to study, and I made great grades and all that stuff. And when I got to college, I was very humbled by the fact that I did not, in fact, know everything. And school was decently hard for me, and not even that I didn't understand the material. I just had such bad anxiety with tests. Thank goodness for therapy, but I had such anxiety that I was terrible at tests, which if you've been to college, you know that that is like 90% of your grade is like how you do mm-hmm. on exams.
Yep.
And you know, the neuroscientist in me is like, oh, that's not the best way to test knowledge, but whatever. Yeah. So anyway, either way, it was a humbling experience. And so I think for me, I had a lot of times in college where I was told that I wasn't going to be able to do things by professors or whatever. But I had this one professor that really took me under her wing and mentored me. And that's who got me into research, actually. And she was, because she realized that I knew the material, I just couldn't test. And so she was like, okay, we're going to figure out another way for you to have these skills and like use them in a way that's not giving you anxiety. And that's how I got into research. And so I think the first time that I published a paper with my lab after I got into research as a career, the first time we published a paper, I think was one of the most proud moments of my life, just because I looked back on those like years of college where I struggled and was told by so many people that I was never going to be able to do it. And I was like, look at me now. And now I've got like 6 publications under my belt. Mm. And that just, every single time we do it, I'm like, you know, look at what I can do. So I think yeah. that probably like stands out as a big highlight for me, is just mm-hmm. having that kind of humility of like realizing I don't know everything, but I do know some things. And then having people tell me I can't do it and then proving that I can. That makes me proud every time.
That's amazing. And you didn't even have to take a test to publish those papers.
Exactly.
So, you know,
I have not had to take an exam since I graduated.
Yeah.
So.
No, I always felt for people who were struggled with test taking, because it just mm-hmm. does seem so unfair. There's such an emphasis yeah. on it. And, you know, I was lucky that I actually was freakishly calm during tests. Like, yeah. And I always, but my heart, like, I'm just like, I'm definitely one of those like deep feelers where I was always like, yeah. who's anxious right now and how can I help you?
I was the anxious one. Well,
100 Magazine is a publication featuring 100 wildly capable women in Oklahoma City. Buy the magazine to read all 100 interviews at 100mag.com. Wildly Capable Woman podcast is produced by Sugar Free Media. You can check out our daily news podcast, News Du Jour, for a calmer space to consume the news. Music is by Joey Lavoie and Nicholas Foster. Please consider